Rise Up and Build, Part 2. Motivated by the calamity, inspired by the suffering, the urgency is because the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in a great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and the gates are burned. The news, like the news that I heard this morning, knocked Nehemiah down, caused weakness in his knees, weeping in his eyes, mourned and a woeful heart for numerous days. But in his misery, Nehemiah turned to the Lord God of heaven. Nehemiah sought the source of all blessings. And in his anguish, Nehemiah turned to the great and awesome God, and he looked to the Lord who keeps the covenant and mercy with those who love and obey him. Right. Nehemiah turns to the omnipotent difference maker with fasting and prayer. Sometimes when you just don't know what to do, God is trying to get you down on your knees so that you can ask him. You've done everything that you can do. Now you need to turn to God. Don't make the mistake of thinking that Nehemiah is primarily interested in walls and gates. Nehemiah, just as we should be, is concerned about the survivors in great stress and reproach. I think the incident that happened over in Ferguson should let us know that even inside and outside of our walls, there are people that are in great reproach among us and distress. Nehemiah is concerned about these survivors in great distress and reproach. He took on this endeavor, and it was not about a building, rather it was about rebuilding survivors. Yeah. The church consists of the called out. And if we really want to build the church, we have to build people.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
Survivors. In great distress, in great reproach. And a survivor is a person who has been through some kind of catastrophic event or episode where others didn't make it, but somehow, by the grace of God, they survived. I just have one question for you. Do we have to survive? If you're a survivor today, why don't you just raise your hand? Amen. So all of us can identify. A survivor is a person who beat the odds. The odds said you wouldn't make it, but because of your faith and trust in God and the happenstance of God, you still were able to make it. This project was about fortifying the fallen. It's about reconstructing the crushed. It's about removing the reproach. It's about defeating the distress. It's about rebuilding the walls and repairing the gates that were aimed in renewing and restoring Israel's relationship with God. And that's what the church is all about. Reconciling men back to God. Some of the situations as ministers of the gospel and members of the body of Christ, we see some ugly situations, don't we? We see some situations that only God himself can help. And he works through earthen vessels, me and you, to help the reproach and the distress.
Right.
This project fortified, rebuild lives, remove reproach, rebuilding the walls and the gates. The survivors who happened to be in this great distress. Their lives were in ruins. Their walls are torn down. Their gates are burned with fire. And just for a few minutes, I'd like to look at the great distress, the great discussion, and the great decision. That was a great distress. Nehemiah chapter 2, the first part of verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in. Jerusalem lies waste, and her gates are burned with fire. Jerusalem lies waste, her gates are burned with fire. And Jerusalem is literal, but it is also symbolic. Jerusalem was a place of God's habitation. Jerusalem is called the holy city and the city of God. The Lord placed his name in Jerusalem. His name and dwelling were not in Babylon. His name and dwelling were not in Assyria, not in Damascus, not in Egypt, not in Persia, not in Philistine, but his name and his dwelling were in Jerusalem. And during the Babylonian captivity, Jerusalem had been destroyed. The people of God were taken into exile. They were moved from their homeland, and the Babylonians carried away both the treasure of God's house and the king's house. Babylon carried all the captains, all the mighty men of valor, all the craftsmen, all the smiths. They left none except the poor and the weak. This intense infliction of Jerusalem in the heart of God's people is expressed in Psalms 137. Listen to the sweet psalmist of Israel as he captures the brokenness of this people. By the rivers of Babylon that we sat down, yet we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our hearts upon the willows in the mist. For there are those who carried us away captive, asked us for a song. And those who had plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the song of Zion in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, not let not my hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let not my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief, remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, I raise it to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, who are you to be destroyed? Happy are the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. This was truly a song of depression. This was truly a blues song.
Yes, sir.
Am I right about that? Yes, some of us thought the blues started in Mississippi. Our blues is when you separate from God like they were in captivity because of their transgressions. Your transgressions will make you sing the blues. Am I right about that? You can see. But now they have been released from that captivity. The Persian rule. They are liberated. They can return to Jerusalem. Many return with Ezra to rebuild the temple, but restoration is not complete. The survivors are in great distress. Jerusalem is literal, but it's also symbolic. We know it was the dwelling place of God, but God no longer dwells in a temple made with hands. 1 Corinthians, I know we call this the sanctuary. The place where God dwells. But this isn't really a sanctuary according to the Old Testament temple. This auditorium.
That's right. Right.
Amen.
That's
right.
Church.
Yeah. Guess who's the temple? We are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul says, say, you do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you?
That's right, yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Lord dwells in man. And every person we encounter is a place God desires to dwell. I talked to Conley. Conley said he used to pick Jenny up. Yeah, because they were trying to encourage her to surrender to Christ. She never did. But he said he would pick her and her two kids up. And we don't know what happened, what brought her to the brink of destruction, but we know it was the devil.
Oh, yes, sir.
And not putting her trust in God. Life's burdens had weighed her down so far that she felt like she just needed to end it all. I wish she had died in the watery graves of baptism.
Yeah.
And then rose to the newness of life. Now, prepare us for every opportunity that we have to touch somebody's life in Christ. We need to take advantage of it.
Right.
Get off the couch. Think about other people.
Yeah.
And it's just not a coincidence that God is bringing people in and out of your lives.
Right.
They're Jennies that need Jesus. And God wants to use earthly vessels to reach them. Am I right about this? You don't have to be perfect. Am I right about this?
That's right.
Well, brother preacher, I got my issue. Let me tell you something. All of us got
it.
All of us have seen
it.
You do the best you can with what God has given you and see how he encouraged you and increased your faith right now. Rudy Tom left me. after 30 years, I said, I can't believe it. Do you hear what I'm saying? People around us that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't it? Marriages are broken down. Homes are burned with fire. Families are fractured. Relationships are ruined. Bodies are unhealthy. Minds are confused. Emotions unstable. Lives unmanageable. Finances are flames. And so, there was a great distress. Not only was there a great distress. Let me see.
Come on, preach. Don't worry about that.
It's my watch.
Come on, preach.
Come on.
Yeah, don't look at that. Let's preach.
I got a few more minutes over here, okay? Amen.
Come on, preach.
Somebody with a big watch can tell me if I'm going too far. But that was not only a great, that was not only a great distress. But that was a great discussion.
All right.
I'm glad it just didn't stop with the fact that that was a distress.
Come on.
Am I right about it? Yeah. See, God didn't just want us discussing what's on the news. He wants us to be change agents. To change some of the things that are going on in our community. And it just might be helping one little girl or one little boy. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
It might just be helping one person. Right? It might just be serving one family. Like I told you on last week, adopt some of these kids. We have baptized about 53 teenagers
right.
in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And guess what? They're faithful. They come to church, they request prayer. The youth conference is coming up. Come on now. Amen. Just stop eating out a couple of times.
A couple of times.
You can send one up to the youth conference. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell the truth. Go ahead and put that pot of greens on in the backbones. Amen. Don't go to the All Back Steakhouse this week. Because somebody needs your help.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of these kids need to go and be exposed. You know what helped me in 1990? I think I told y'all last time I was preaching this lesson. I wasn't just wild. I was bug wild. Remember that? Y'all know what bug wild means. Am I right about this? And had it not been for what my parents instilled in me, I wanted to be the guy that just didn't have no conscience. But you know that scripture that says, bring up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he won't depart. Let me tell you something. My upbringing stayed with me. Am I right about it? So every time I tried to go too far to the left, I was always reminded. Yeah. Remember telling you the story about my mother in the fruit stand? Yeah, Paul Private had a grocery store in the South End. And you know, I learned about stealing and not to steal at early. You know them big old grapes? You know, they look so good. You just walking through the store. Amen. Somebody need to hear this story. Let me get my mic. You know, you just walking through the store and you just say, well, let me try this grape. Amen. Oh, man. I grabbed a clump of them. I was walking through the store. My mother, Isabel Brown, was standing next to me, and all I know is the light is struck. Amen. Grace flew out of my mouth. the undone situation. Nehemiah said in 2:17 and 18a, come let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we can no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God and what had good upon me, and also the king's words that he has spoken to me. Nehemiah is a role model for leadership.
Yeah.
He is broken by the facts. Some things ought to break us down.
Yeah.
I know we have to stand stoic, and sometimes we have to put on the game face, but let me tell you the truth, brothers and sisters, our hearts ought to be broken by what we see around us.
Amen.
Nehemiah is courageous enough to act. We need some people not just to discuss the fact that our world is going to hell in a handbasket, but willing to rescue some people from hell. And he's wise enough to pray. Isn't that something? Paul told Timothy, before you get this ministry started, the first thing you need to do is pray. And then he said, encourage faithful men to lift up holy hands without wrath of God. We can't help the people in the world if we're not getting along ourselves.
That's right.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Nehemiah is the king's cupbearer. He holds a prestigious position, but his purpose is not found in his position. His purpose develops from his spiritual. That's what I'm telling my sons. Amen. I'm going to try to get some money from them today. Amen. For the youth. Now, not for me. Okay. Yeah, they benefited from the youth. They need to give back.
That's right.
Send me $100 so I can give them to the youth.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. God is blessing your physical position. You got a good job. You're getting promotions. But you know what I'm concerned about with my children? It's their spiritual position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I know you, like me, have the same concerns for your kids. And so we have to keep reaching out in love. Am I right about it? Can't run him away, Brother Keenan. Yeah, get him on the phone. Hey, son, how you doing? Yeah, let's get together for lunch. Yeah, I tell you what, if you have a good relationship with your kids, you'll be able to talk to them and restore them when I'm there. You know, who just drove driven up to my job? Just wanted to talk. Amen. Won't really come out and say, but I know something troubles me. Let's talk. Let's talk for real.
Amen.
I'm a rabbi. That's what I get to tell him. Son, if you put the Lord first, he'll bless what you try.
Amen.
Yeah. He'll bless you, son. And I'm here to help you. I love you unconditionally. Like God loves me. Don't matter what you've done. Am I right about it?
Amen.
I don't want everybody to know everything that I've done.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So I don't even ask my kids everything that they do. Some people go through life never understanding who they are and why they exist. You have not only a physical purpose down here, but you have an eternal purpose of God. We need to remember who we are. Am I right about it? We are the salt of the earth. We are the church of Christ.
Yes, sir.
He is the vine, and we are the branches.
Yeah.
Those who have been brought back from death to life. We are the children of God. We are the imitators of God. We are the light that sitteth on a hill. We are the bride of Christ. We are a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. Yes, we are. And like Nehemiah, spent 3 days assessing the situation. Not only do we need to talk about the situation, but we need to have a plan to work the problem. There is a problem. This is the purpose. There is a plan. Nehemiah forms a plan before discussing it with the officials, the Jews, the priests, the nobles, and others who did the work. Nehemiah's purpose is that we may no longer be a reproach. The word reproach means a disgrace. The word reproach means contempt of state or dishonor. The word reproach means a low status. Nehemiah was attempting to elevate people lower of lower status. People that don't have God, we don't look down upon them except to reach down to lift them up. Because if they humble themselves and give their lives to God, He will lift them up.
That's right.
I'm all right, my man. This is exactly what Jesus did in His ministry. Leadership is about helping people remove the disgrace and the dishonor. Nehemiah gives no statistics. He quotes no experts. He is not asked to prove his credentials. Nehemiah simply says, let's face the fact, Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned in fire. Church, let's face the facts. Denominations are growing and we're declining. It's time for an update. We need a spiritual human resource. Yeah. We need material resources. We need spiritual human resources. We need God's people to serve faithfully with dedication and commitment that we are seeing. We need God's people to use their spiritual gifts and talents in sync with the purpose and the plan of the church. We need spiritual servants to work on their portion of the wall.
Yeah.
We need material resources. It takes men and women to do ministry, but it also takes money. Amen, walls and electric. Nehemiah didn't worry about the money because he says, I told them of the hand of God which had been good upon me and also of the king's word that he had spoken to me. Nehemiah was ordained by God and ordained by the king. When the king notices the problem, he says to Nehemiah, what do you request? Nehemiah does not answer immediately. Instead, he prayed to the God of heaven. The Lord will let him know what to do with this opportunity. The hand of God is up on Nehemiah. God placed Nehemiah in the position because there was a purpose to fulfill. God moved the king to grant Nehemiah the time he needed.
That's right.
God moved the king to give Nehemiah the legal right to do the work.
That's right.
The Lord moved the king to give Nehemiah the material resources to do work and build Nehemiah's house. Some of us don't realize it yet, but God's hand is with us in the field. God is blessing this ministry. God is blessing this church. God is giving us increase. God is giving us favor. God is giving us opportunity. God is healing the hurting. God is cleansing us. God is causing us to be fruitful and multiply. God is directing our steps. God is feeding our souls. God is leading our spirits. God is doing something special with our men. God is working through our women. God is covering our youth. God's hand is upon us. Because His hand. Amen. Because His hand is upon us. We will not be average. mediocre. We will not decline. We will not give up. We will not be defeated. We will not be denied. Because Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or act, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory. To the church by Jesus Christ, to all generations, forever. Amen. Amen. It's not our power, but it's God's power. Yeah. Everybody about it. Right. It's not our wisdom, but it's God's wisdom. Yeah. It's not our intuitiveness, but it's God's direction. Yeah. It's not our will, but it's God's will. I submitted myself to the will of God. We can ask, and it shall be. We can seek, and we shall find. We can knock, and the door shall be open. Amen. We can give, and he'll pour out a blessing that we can't contain. We can fall, he'll lift us up. We can be last, he'll make us first. I can love, and we can love our enemy. We can bless somebody who curses us out. God can take our problems and make them a boot camp of bountiful blessings. We are more than conquerors. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. He provides for all of our needs. And I can hear the Holy Spirit through speaking through Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verses 19. He says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. God's hand is upon us, Brother Wes. Keep up the good work, Brother Wes. Keep planting your life in the lives of your nephews and your nieces, making sure they're here on Sunday. Am I right about it? We're reaching the lost. We're encouraging the youth. We're ministering to our families. We're praising our God. We're feeding the hungry. Am I right about it, Brother Rock? Am I amen, Lord? And election right. We're serving one another. We're loving one another. We're clothing the naked. We're growing in a mighty way. But we still got some work to do. We have to build up the wall because we still got intercedes. Am I right about it? That's our mission. Fill these seats. Guess who has the power? You do.
Amen.
I guarantee totally. If I told you that on next Sunday, I'll give everybody just $100 for bringing a gift. Would you have your guest next week? Tell the truth and shame the devil. We would have an overflow capacity. But it's more than at stake than $100.
Well,
what does it profit a man to gain the whole world? His soul. These represent his lost soul. And lose his own soul. Okay, I can tell you time. Amen. All right. I'm going to stop. I have a point for the night. Amen. Yeah. And I'm going to go to my conclusion. Is that all right?
It's all right.
Let me close. Amen. You say, Brother Brian, you're just getting wise in your old age. Thank you, kindly. Let's look at the distress. Let's just do a summary, and we're going to close. I can't finish my lesson tonight, this morning. The distress. We're surrounded by a community in and out of the church that needs to be built up. Helping to remove this disgrace and dishonor by leading them to Jesus. Jesus said in John 10 and 10, the thief comes except to the steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have more abundantly. The devil wants to steal your joy, kill your body, and destroy your soul. Jesus came to deliver us from distress. He wants to give us joy, heal your body, and save your soul.
Amen.
And in the great discussion, come let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we no longer be of reproach. I told them of the hand of my God, which has come upon me. Isaiah chapter 1, we have to reason with people. We have to discuss with people. We have to talk with people. And we have to interject the word of God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18, come now, let us reason together. Am I right about it? Let us reason together. Because there's something that you will that will be beneficial for you if we can reason together about the things of the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are like red, like crimson, they shall be loved. Be as wool. Beloved, if you're not a child of God today, the great discussion is for you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And he died on the cross for your sins and in mine. And he rose the third day again, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. That message can save you if you believe. And then the great decision. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. So they said, let us rise up and leave. They set their hands to do that's what is good. Friends, if you don't know the Lord, you need to believe the message of the gospel. Repent of your sins, confess faith in Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Church, we have to rise up and be. We have a tremendous opportunity. We have people around us that need Jesus. We have people like the young lady that took her life, that's in our lives, that's so close to Christ. We cannot just give up. We have our own young people, our own children that need to know Christ. I don't know about you, but I ain't giving up on my kids.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
I don't care if you got a six-figure income. You need Jesus. Right. Am I right about that? Yeah. I don't care if you got a 5,000 square feet home. You need Jesus. Yeah. I don't care if you got an office suite with a window looking over Manhattan and New York. You need Jesus. Am I right about it? You need somebody that's going to help you in a time of trouble. Somebody that's going to help you in a time of distress. I just want to say, we're living in a time where people are distressed and they need the Lord.
Yes.
They need you to reach them with the gospel. Am I right about it? If you're here, you want to rededicate your life, you just want prayer. Maybe you're going through something. But, you know, you don't have to tell us, but maybe you were thinking about doing something to yourself. Amen?
Yes.
Maybe you were thinking about doing something to somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be for real.
Yeah.
I mean, unscrew your halo for a minute. Amen. Not you, Sister Mary, huh? Yeah, right there. But I'm just saying to you today, whatever your challenge is, maybe your finances are messed up. Maybe you just can't seem to get things going like you want it. And then regardless to how God blesses you, you still aren't happy. Why don't you give your life to Jesus today?
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, let us pray with you and pray for
Amen.
You.
Yes.
The prayers of the righteous availeth much.
Yes.
Amen. There is no word in the human vocabulary that can describe what God availeth much is. Yes. If you take one stick,
yes,
not only will it take
yes.
two,
yes.
he'll take 1,000
sticks.
Yes. Am I right about it?
Amen.
If you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, guess what? He'll lift you up.
Yes.
Am I right about it? He'll do more for you than that 4D 60-inch TV will do for you. Am I right about it?
Yes.
Yeah, you get that TV and you say, boy, I don't know about this television. I can see all of the, man, you know, it was nice when you couldn't see how people really look. You get really close to people.
Oh.
Amen. Really see how they look? You know what I'm saying? All of us need to look into the perfect law of liberty. Make the adjustments. And only God can help us do that. Won't you come as we together stand?